Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Christopher Burnham, Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of State. And joining us in our conversation is Kim Hinsman. Well, Chris, you've talked throughout our interview about the importance of management. And in government, as you know, there's a lot of C-suite, CIO, Chief Human Capital Officer, Chief Procurement Officer, work alongside the CFOs. And I'm curious, there's even been talk about maybe assigning a Chief Management Officer to work with these, perhaps oversee. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I can't speak for other departments or agencies, but we certainly don't need that at the State Department. We have an Undersecretary for Management. That's a very, very important role. It's now filled by Undersecretary Grant Green. One of the rare joys of working in the State Department for the last 3 years has been that there's a leadership team there between Secretary Powell, Deputy Secretary Rich Armitage, and Undersecretary for Management Grant Green, and all three have worked together for the last 23 years. One person can start a sentence, the other person can finish the sentence. So from the standpoint of the State Department, we have a Chief Operating Officer. His name is Rich Armitage. We have a Chief Executive Officer. His name is Colin Powell. And we have a Chief Management Officer, really, who is Grant Green, except we call it the Undersecretary for Management. As far as I know, most other departments and agencies have the same thing. So I don't think we need to add a chief to anyone's title. As long as, A, you have an undersecretary or assistant secretary for management, and B, that you then have the kind of leadership cohesion at the top. Now, one of the reasons we have this at State is because Colin Powell is a brilliant manager and leader, and he focuses on management and human resources and budgeting issues, and I think he has really unprecedented focus on that within recent secretaries of state. So, we're blessed with that at State Department. Other agencies have to make sure that their leadership team is also focused on management issues. Just can't go out there focusing on policy. That may be the sexy stuff, but it's not what's going to get the factory floor humming. It's not what's going to produce the widgets day in and day out. And that's exactly what Secretary Powell's focus has been. And I'm going to tell you, this place is absolutely 0 to 60 in 3.2.
Since the CFO Act was passed in 1990, can you tell us a little bit about how the financial offices in government have evolved? And additionally, what do you think these offices will look like in the future?
Wow. Well, that's a mouthful to answer. The a lot of it goes back to the fact that, as I said years ago, there was no general ledger at the State Department. I would guess that that's probably applies to other agencies and departments as well. So the CFO Act was absolutely necessary. That the CFO Act then required that the CFO by law report to the secretary or agency head was also a very important thing here. So we're, corporate America has learned the dangers of a CFO that is not completely on top of all the accounting and reporting. And obviously the CFO has taken on one of the two or three most important roles in corporate America. That said, we live in a town that's built on policy. And so the CFO has not always had that kind of access to the secretary. The law made it so, and that's been an important addition there. I think that when you see Sarbanes-Oxley or increased focus on Sarbanes-Oxley, like controls and reviews being applied to government, that that's going to increase the responsibilities of the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. People are going to continue to look at us for increased management, leadership, and accounting and financial competence. I think that the responsibilities will increase, and reflective of that is the fact that we've gone from our financial reporting and independent outside auditors report from months after the close of the fiscal year to weeks after the close, 6 weeks after the close of the fiscal year. So I think this is an important step. And again, going forward, only increased scrutiny, increased professionalism will be required, an increased importance placed on our financial managers and leaders out there across government.
Where do you see the Bureau for Resource Management in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think that the last 3 years we've spent inculcating a culture of planning, of budget and performance integration, of linking our performance to budget decisions. This is not, again, like corporate America. Just because the factory is producing a widget that's not selling doesn't mean we're going to close that factory down. Let me put that in terms of the State Department. We've had tremendous successes within the administration for bringing the Pakistanis and the Indians together, for decreasing the amount of tension between the two parties there, particularly over the Kashmir region, in our effort to either denuclearize or at least stabilize the region and keep two nuclear powers from going to blows over the issues associated with Kashmir. It has taken a number of years of hard diplomacy to get that done. And just because year one or year two or year three didn't produce any results, or the Clinton administration may have had limited results, does that mean that we're going to stop funding that? I mean, how do you measure progress when year in and year out there's no progress? When it comes to foreign relations, when it comes to diplomacy, you can't do that. In fact, the budget and performance integration there means that as we look at how much are we spending and what are we earning in return, what I call return on effort, ROE, return on equity in the private sector, ROE, return on effort in the public sector. When we look at our ROE here, it may mean that we need to put more money at that, more resources at that, more personnel at that, that we're in fact not focusing enough on that. So it could be the other end of the spectrum, that we're not spending enough and not doing enough to meet those critical goals of diplomacy, of creating a more secure, democratic, and prosperous world.
What advice would you share with other public sector CFOs and financial managers?
I think my other public sector CFOs have, in fact, not learned from me. I've learned from them. The CFO Council is made up of a tremendously talented pool of individuals, many, many career individuals. I think the political appointee is less prevalent within the group. And you have these folks out there with 20 and 30 years of experience. They have tremendous insight. They're not lacking for innovation at all. Without a doubt, the president's management agenda, I think, has at the very least caused everybody to focus on innovating, improving, becoming more responsible and accountable, greater stewards of the public funds. And I am told by those who work for me, who are members of the senior executive service, who have been here for many, many decades, that this is the first time we've had such a concerted, focused effort on these kinds of improved financial performance and budget performance integration. I think to anyone who is starting out in a career in the government financial area, again, going back to an earlier statement I made, that training, education is so important to your career, so important to progressing in your career. You know, the rules are changing, the technology is changing, the skill sets are going to continue to change going forward. You've got to stay on top of those things. You can't just take 12 hours of bookkeeping or 36 hours of bookkeeping, get your rating as a government accountant or government bookkeeper, and then stand still. You've got to continue to pursue all educational and training opportunities available to you.
Chris, it's clear that even though you spent a long time in the private sector, public service is an important thing in your career. You've talked to us about your military service, your time in elected office, as well as now working for the federal government. So I'd like you to reflect and ask you, what advice would you give to a person interested in a career in public service?
I think that it's a tremendous career to come here. We are in need of very skilled people who are dedicated, who don't mind that our work hours can go from very regular work hours to practically round the clock when we get to the end of the fiscal year, when we get to reporting time to OMB, when we get to budget time. So there are peaks and valleys in here. And I don't know whether in the private sector you have quite as much variety as you have here. It's exciting, though. I don't want anyone out there to think that government accounting is boring. It's not. There are lots of challenges out there. And I think that the greatest challenges are when you're trying to do that in the environment of the State Department, where you're operating in over 170 countries, 250 locations, in 131 different currencies. I can't even begin to count the number of languages. And obviously, the State Department is just not made up of Americans abroad. We employ a lot of host nation nationals also to help us out, specifically in accounting and reporting within the embassy staff. So it's just a really terrific and exciting opportunity to come and work at the State Department.
Well, Chris, that'll have to be our last question. Kim and I want to thank you for joining us this morning and squeezing us in your very busy schedule.
No, listen, Kim and Paul, this has been my great honor. Thank you. You know, if I could just say, if anyone wanted more information, we have an excellent website, www.state.gov. And I would hope that if anyone had any follow-up questions, they could go right to that, particularly if they're interested in working at the State Department.
Thank you, Chris. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Christopher Burnham, Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of State. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.